there's much to be done around the software development and product creation and an entrepreneurship mindset. And in those days, this was 2010, 2013, that range. And we were lucky enough to discover that there was a huge gap to be filled.
What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's guest, we have Luis Gustavo Flores. He goes by Gustavo, and he's the founder of Movitex. He is from Honduras, and he's actually growing the startup scene over there. It's pretty awesome to hear. He's put on some TEDx events, he's done some hackathons, and for fun, he's working on getting his pilot's license. He just bought a plane, decided to get a license. Super awesome. A lot like what I did with a motorcycle. Fascinating to hear what other countries have going on in the startup world, and I hope you enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun talking to Gustavo. Play Hard Podcast.
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard.
All right, without further ado, Gustavo, what's up, my man? How is it going today?
I'm going great, Armand. Thank you so much for having me on Play Hard Podcast. And for me, it's always a joy to share, you know, ideas and conversations with people that are also creating stuff and doing cool stuff around the world. So
yeah, it's fun. It's always a pleasure having a fellow podcast host on the show as well. So that's going to be exciting. We can talk about that. For the listeners, we have Luis Gustavo here on the show today. He's the founder of one of the founders of Movitex, and he was working on Public. It is now no longer a thing, but we'll get into that. And he is, from what I heard on the podcast I was listening to, basically starting up the startup scene in Honduras. So how's it going? What is that like? What is it like, the startup scene in Honduras, and what is your kind of role in it?
Thank you. There's been an interesting movement around the Honduras tech startup scene. I'm more of an enabler on some areas, but definitely there's some people that had started before myself with their companies and with different events. I think one of those events, Brian Wong from Keep, he was there around 2008. I was still in my college years. I wasn't aware of what I wanted to achieve. I did wanted to do something that made a difference, but on those days, startup scene was very limited from, at least from the city I'm from, San Pedro Sula. Usually, I mean, Honduras has two big cities, Tegucigalpa, the capital city, and then has San Pedro Sula as a very industrial city and a lot of, of commerce going there around the city and stuff. And Tegucigalpa usually was, it had a very interesting story as well. There's some guys, that actually are based in California, Pasadena. They're called Hello Iconic. And they started this company like 20 years ago, 20 something years ago. And they have evolved and they have grown a team and they have a very interesting success story. It will be, I'll definitely remember to pass you that contact as well so that you can speak with Jorge and Alejandro. Yeah. But anyway, in the startup scene, these guys and other guy named Roberto Breve, these guys were pretty much like pioneering on this stuff, and they created events and they were developing startups. And ourselves, and I mean ourselves because my friends and I, we started this company Public, which we didn't know anything about technology. We wanted just to do something around the tech vibe scene, and we didn't have any degree or any masters on computer science or stuff like that. So we just decided to go ahead and we found this interesting idea around the SMS advertising, and we just got connected to the idea, and we created the company. And with that, we started ourselves to do some initiatives, events, TEDx events and hackathons events and stuff like that. And that is one of the ways that we started to initiate conversations and to organize a community of people that, that already existed on the software scene. But in Honduras, definitely there's much to be done around the software development and product creation and an entrepreneurship mindset. And in those days, this was 2010, 2013, that range. And we were lucky enough to discover that there was a huge gap to be filled. So we were really
connected
to that idea. And that's how pretty much after that, we through that decision we made of starting this company and learning about it and having the time, because we were really fortunate to just be involved on that project for a long time. So that got us a head start on what we wanted to achieve on the tech scene for Honduras. And yeah, from that, a lot of interesting things developed in the meantime, once Movitex was growing and evolving as what is now. But pretty much it was a very limited proposals to consume around events and small gatherings to start conversation about it. So those were the early days that I remember of the tech vibe and startup scenes around.
And that's really awesome. Yeah, I read that you put on some TEDx events and hackathons. What was kind of like that process like, and how did that help get you connected within the space?
Yeah, you know, actually, this event was, I mean, TED represents for me one of the key enablers of for me driving myself to start an entrepreneurship career and startup career or company creation career. And I remember my first TED talk was one of Jeff Bezos talking about the evolution of technology. Like, he was comparing, you know, CDs with the phonographs or the printers with the, you know, he was like relating all these concepts of how technology has helped evolve faster in our times. And through that, I just got connected to the idea, right? And we used to, like, on our office, it was a very small office we started. It was kind of like in a garage. And we usually had this time for ourselves to watch TED videos and educate ourselves from that. And I'm going to be straight up honest with you, man. We were on an LSD trip. It was really, really, like, intense at that moment. And we decided to watch TED videos for like 8 hours
on an acid trip.
Yeah.
We just watched TEDx videos.
Yeah, just the TEDx videos and, like, you know, and like all gain all this knowledge. And we were also very dreamers about the things that we wanted to accomplish with the company. And we always thought, you know what, it would be great if we'll be able to do a TEDx or to bring TEDx events to our city and, you know, enable conversation. And then all of a sudden we realized that Tegucigalpa was having the first TEDx on Honduras. And we went there and we loved it, man. We were engaged with it. That was before the acid trip. And then after that we were in an acid trip. And I just said to myself, you know what, if we don't do it, I'm gonna feel that I left something out that I have that I was called to do. So
yeah, it was that feeling of regret, knowing that if you guys didn't start it or bring it there, either someone else would, but way later, or it just wouldn't happen. And exactly. So this was kind of like your way of saying, I'm that passionate about this. I love this. I can't be the only one. So I'm going to bring it over here.
Exactly. Exactly. So that is precisely right. What happened, Oman. And I spoke, and it was key for me not to do it myself. Cause you don't do things yourself. It's
yeah.
That companies don't exist by one person. You need a set of people around
a team.
You, a team that will help you and enable you and support you on your ideas. And fortunately enough, my partners at the time, my friends, I asked them, hey, would you be, if we decided to bring in, would you help me to do it?
Yeah.
They were all on board, man. And that was the reason why it all started. It started because we wanted to do it. And we felt that it was a good time to do so. And that was a very interesting adventure, because after that, we realized once we delivered the first event, we were like, wow, man, we were able to do it. We did it. And as small as it may have been, and when it started, it was a start. And that
yeah.
got us connected to a lot of things that we were doing with ourselves, with our projects and products.
And was this before or after you started your first company?
This was in the meantime when we started the company. We had the SMS business running there. It was going fine. It was going good at the time.
So I'm guessing this was just like another set of example, like another example or validation that whatever you guys put your mind to, you can just make it happen. Dude, and that kind of inspired you for the company as well.
So right. That is precisely what had happened. We were just, that made us realize, hey, if we put our mind to it, it's going to be done. And that brought so many good things, you know, for us as individuals, as a team, and a lot of hard lessons to learn from ourselves as well. But yeah, like that was the reason, and that was the way it started. And it was, we have in our podcast, we have a small episode. It's a Spanish podcast, but. We have a small episode when we talk about that, about how it started, and you know, it's yeah, very.
Yeah, I'll listen to it to keep practicing my Spanish. I definitely got to practice. I like to joke because Spanish was actually my first language. It is what both my parents are immigrants, and they knew Spanish more than English when we lived back in Houston, and they would just only talk to me in Spanish. And when I moved to San Diego, my teachers were like. I was in first grade and my teacher was like, hey, this kid only knows two sentences in English. You guys got to start talking English in the household. And my parents switched to English, and because I didn't expose myself back to Spanish more, I kind of lost it. So it was like really interesting that I still like I remember it whenever I immerse myself in like Spanish speaking cultures, I can bring it back. But for the most part, I got to practice. So your podcast is a great way. I'll just flip on some Duolingo and listen to your podcast.
It's a habit building. It's a habit. It's, exactly. It's a habit that you need to build. And definitely, that's one of the reasons that I enjoy having this conversation, because we're going to talk about that as well. I'm looking forward to that as well. But yeah, I mean, in a region and in a country that usually has lived a very hard history.
Yeah.
Regarding, you know,
very
like
true.
Stability and growth aspirations, being able to be part of the movement of people that were enabling opportunities and also, mindsets to people believe them themselves on doing their things. That for me was, I mean, I could be paid a lot of money for what I do now and stuff, but being part of that and knowing that same things, those decisions brought us where we are now, I think that no money in the world would be able to pay me what that experience paid me
yeah.
for my life, and I'm grateful for it because, see, becoming developing companies or being an entrepreneur is not an easy thing, and people see it as a tendency nowadays, probably, or something like it's cool to be, but it's not. It's a decision, and you have to be very ready to. So I mean, the question that I always try to make to myself is, how much are you willing to lose in order to do the things that you want to do? Because I think losing is a very important thing in life, because life is a very big part and a winning part is a very small part. So in order to win, I mean, at least for my in my philosophy, I think that losing is the acceptance of losing is a very important thing for me to build blocks and convince myself and win.
But yeah, I agree, because it's losing is not, or failing, the way I see it, like something going wrong is not an if, it's going to happen. Like, you're just going to have your ups and downs. There will be downs. Choosing to ignore that or pretending like they're not going to happen, that is, it's detrimental to your mindset, because when it does happen, you're kind of in this mode of, oh, why did this happen to me? Like, what could I have done? Like, it's really helpful to accept the possibility of losing or failure, because then it gives you the freedom of, okay, if it does happen, what do I do? Okay, learn from that failure, take it as a lesson, and keep moving on. I really liked the analogy that Charles Fry said on your episode, how he talks about he grew up on a farm, and he grew up farming. And the thing that really stuck out to me is most of the crops that they plant on farms, they actually chop up and destroy, and they put it back into the land because that's what helps build the soil. Mm-hmm. And you only take a good small piece of like the quality corn. The rest of it gets chopped up, put back in the soil to keep it healthy and keep it growing. And how he said that's very similar to startups. Only the good ones survive, but a lot of the lessons you learn that get chopped up and put back in the soil, that's how the actual startup community grows. Hopefully, Charles, if you listen to this, I'm not butchering the analogy. Go ahead. I'll throw your episode with him in there, because he has just like the most beautiful way of describing and comparing what it's like, is that you do need those failures and losses to take them as lessons. Now, the other thing I really agree is that if you don't learn from them, and if you don't have, like, if you kind of ignore your failures, then you are doing yourself a form of self-harm, because they will repeat themselves and you're just going to do the same mistake, and it's not helpful.
It is, man. And talking about Charles a little bit, Charles is, it's a great guy, man.
He's awesome. He's an awesome guest.
Yeah. He is. And he also, he has that drive, that energy that communities need nowadays. He has a company in Honduras. It's a very big company, software company, that he has managed to build it. Like with his people, he has managed to lead it and build it. And having him here in Honduras, the way I see it, is a great opportunity for a lot of entrepreneurs to be part of a different mindset. There's a huge opportunity that the country has with him as
oh, I totally agree.
With his role as a very wise figure.
Wise is the right way, dude. I remember interviewing him. He had, sometimes you speak to people and entrepreneurs who say that they are doing entrepreneuring, or like they say they're starting companies. They say, and like, you can kind of tell they're still kind of figuring out. He is just someone that struck me as like, he had this sense of like, calm understanding of like, I've done this so many times that like, you could go about it this way, you could go about it that way. Like, either just his advice was some of the most valuable pieces that I've heard. Yeah, he's an absolute asset to have in your country, and I think that is so awesome that he's building a really big company there.
Indeed, I see him as a mentor. I have several mentors in my life. You know, it's funny that I don't know the relation that, for example, Honduras with Uruguay has. because couple of my mentors are originally from Uruguay, and they have managed to come here to Honduras, and that also has, you know, Uruguayans has helped us, at least in my story. I've seen how their knowledge has been useful for entrepreneurs like me to cope and to just go ahead with things, you know, and also, you know, as well as Charles, as now, because he has been in Honduras for some time, but in the tech scene, he has like 4 years already, and he has done so much. And I think that's really important in a community. You know, you need people and some other external views, so and entrepreneurs can get a better better conceptualization of what is that an individual like me is following to accomplish, or else other individuals that want to accomplish the same things. You know, I think it's important that you have different combination of ideas and perceptions and experiences around it. So nowadays, Honduras Tech 5 is still on a very nascent phase, but there are more companies that are growing and starting to become successful. And that is something that community needs, you know, successful businesses.
And one thing I really liked in your episode is that it needs successful companies to stay. That is something that really stuck out. The people who get up, they start doing well, and then they move somewhere else, like let's say to the US because of the startup scene. That is the crazy thing to realize was it is a drop in the bucket for the startup scene here, but it is a massive loss for the startup scene in Honduras, which is like you almost need to build a community that has like an intense amount of pride and says, we're not leaving. We want to build it here. We want to grow it here. Wow. And I find that really insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people are going to make fun of me about, cause I'm always in awe of thoughts and words and what comes from people's ideas. And what you just mentioned, really, it's true, man. I mean, I've always been convinced that my place belongs here. Yeah. Although I could have gone other seas and you know, overseas or whatever, and I could have done a lot of things, but we need to build that mindset around people. They people need to stay as well, and it's a very hard challenge for countries like ours, you're originally from El Salvador, correct?
That's I was born here, but my dad's from El Salvador and my mom's from Mexico.
We're neighbors exactly, pretty much neighbors, and I have a lot of Salvadorian roots as well, and you know, definitely,
let's go.
Yeah, definitely those countries, you know, have done a lot with what they have, and they could have done a lot more, but you know, social things and political things that affects, you know, a lot of people's mindset, and they decide to leave. And that's really sad for the country, because they lose a valuable asset that could do so many things for the country. But anyways,
I imagine also funding, like you can at some points growth, like depending on the company, of course, but growth can be limited by like the amount of money you can get into this company. You can only grow so much without the help of outside money. Again, not always the case, but a lot of times what you see with like these fast tech startups, you do need a lot of funding, and like that availability is not always there. And another thing that comes to mind is like when something I really liked in your episode was describing the differences in markets of Latin America, like how Mexico is its own thing, which is very understandable. It's right next to the US, and it's just like it's right there and like very populated, versus like El Salvador, Honduras, which are Central America. They're like smaller countries and they're right in the middle, versus something like Colombia or even Brazil, how he mentioned those are two different worlds, like entirely. Yeah. Yet here in the US, you hear it categorized all together under Latin America. Like you hear LATAM, that's all the same thing. It's kind of like it's its own. Like they all get grouped together when in reality they're not. They're very separate, different. I mean, let's not even go into how different the cultures are, but there's very, very different like ways of doing business, very different markets, things that people want. So it, I think I see, just like predicting, this isn't my specialty, just letting you know, but like, I predict that a difficulty in getting funding is how, like a lack of understanding of the different types of markets or definitely. Like where the money would go.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. You struck a nerve there. Definitely. Because with Movitex, we had the opportunity to participate on a Y Combinator process. We went to Y Combinator. We went to the final interview. Unfortunately, we didn't get in. It was unfortunate for the time, but it was necessary for us to happen.
Yeah.
And that made me realize that the thing is that our region is very small, right? As if you pile it up together, it's probably like 30 or 40% of Mexico's population.
Yeah. All of Central America, I feel like people, if you were to see it on a map, it's not a big area and it's not a lot of population. Like, yeah, totally agree. But,
you know, it's nature of production, like the way the capacity of production is so freaking dense that yeah.
you can. Oh, we work. Latinos work. That's very true.
Exactly. It's really dense. And like the production of it could be as equal as an African country that is a bigger country with bigger population, even as a country in like Colombia, for example. Take that for let's take coffee, for example. Honduras, for example, produces like what a third of what Colombia's produce, and it's way smaller than Colombia, and has way less population than Colombia, and we still have that capacity to produce one third of what they produce yearly. And that's on a commodity like coffee, right? So the point being with the region is that if strategists would have a better sense of understanding that those differentiations, Central America could be in a strategic niche to become powerful in an area where not so much people can dominate, you know?
Yeah.
I think has a lot of value.
Yeah. I think it takes vision with someone like Charles, who is like, I see a ton of potential here not being tapped. He is doing his thing down there, and it is awesome, dude. Like, Code Exitos is a great company. I really like what they're doing, and they're really cool to watch. I want to keep up with it.
Yeah, exactly. That is a great example of how quick density can become. He started with what, 10 minus 10 people. Now he's more than 100 people in 4 years.
I think part of it though is like, so if the scene is growing a bit slower, I think one thing, the reason it works very well is because he got so much experience in something like Silicon Valley and living in Austin, like the really fast, high-paced scenes. Like he was a part of that for, like you mentioned, 30 to 40 years. So then he takes that experience and brings it down. Like that's another thing that has to be kept in mind is like, you do need that experience and then bring it back.
Exactly, man. No, and you know, it's, In my case, in Movitex, we had a very interesting story because we started the company, but we were amateurs on doing tech companies, and you know, we read this book about The Art of Start by Guy Kawasaki. So one of the habits that we have really really well established in our culture and as our individuals, we read a lot of books, and that gives you so much handicap around so many people that are focused on things, but they don't read and they don't learn, or they don't have that initiative to keep on learning. Right.
Yeah.
So reading that, there's a chapter talk called about find your Morpheus, you know, find a mentor that can help you drive a better idea of the company. And, you know, in Movitex, we had 5 years building the company. And it was, we had two companies, we had Public and we had Movitex, and we made very hard decisions, very difficult decisions at the time. One of the regional partners sold his shares. And fortunately enough, he was at the time, he was very mature to just, you know, being cool about it and
yeah.
not take it to a very complex level. and that was part of the story that had to happen for us at the time. And we met this guy. We met our Morpheus. We met this guy named Alfredo. He's Uruguayan. He lives in Brazil. It's a very interesting story, the guy. But anyways, the guy, he's now probably around his 60s, a bit older than 60s. But when he started the company with us, we said, you know what? This is the guy that we needed to lead us to understand what we needed, what we needed to be to get done to in order to grow. And fortunately enough, he was there for us all the time, and he has been there all the time, and we were lucky to build a company around his knowledge about a very specific industry, which is SMS, and we've managed to start a company, to grow it in a way that has pretty much shown us that the density that the region has.
Yeah.
And nowadays we feel proud about all the things that we have done. Definitely it's not easy because, we have to, that battle of egos and that battle of exchanges and stuff. But in the long run, the way I see it, at least, I'm grateful that we managed to get to know, life has brought us the opportunity to meet people that care about us and care about the purposes that we had with the company. And I think that is really important as well. You need a system of people or fortunately enough to, if you need lucky, the luck to meet people at certain moments that will help you to get that way, to get to the dream that you want to achieve. I think it was a great opportunity to talk about it, because one of the hardest lessons that I have to learn in my life was because I had to deal with someone that was a person that has more experience than I had and a different mindset that I had. And at first, man, I didn't want to learn. I was stubborn. So I had to reframe all that I knew and restructure this new persona and build new habits around it, because I needed to change.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes
it is, yeah, it is. I was recently working on I was just looking into generational differences recently, just out of pure curiosity. And it was really interesting to see how differently we think to people that are just, I don't know, 10, 20 years older than us. And you do two generations up. So like our parents per se, would be sometimes working with them can be very challenging, because they think and were raised and do things so wildly differently than we do now. But at the same time, being able to take, honestly, it's taking your ego out of it, being able to take your pride and ego out of that and being able to listen to what the experience has to say, because at the end of the day, experience don't come cheap. And they got it. Like, if someone's done it before and they're older than us, why not listen, you know?
Yeah.
But that's me, just, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, man, for me, it was really hard. It is. It's, I mean, I'm always going to be like that. I'm always going to be stubborn. I'm always going to be rebel. But what I've learned from my mind is that it's okay to be like that. It's okay, but you need to module those behaviors and those emotions and accept that there are many different ways of doing things, you know, and through that like awakening that I had, thank God, I believe in God. And that's one of the yeah. habits I always try to work on. I realized I need to do something different in my life. I need to somehow switch my wiring and start to lose that that complex, that feeling of being the dumb person at the, looking dumb on the things that I start, you know?
Yeah.
So out of nowhere, I met a friend, a very good friend of mine, that now he's one of my best friends now. And he introduced me to the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu discipline. I was originally always a soccer player. I loved soccer for my whole life. I played in many places around the world and I loved it. But I realized, that is something different. And I really need to get my hands into that.
Yeah.
And that was perhaps one of the key decisions of myself to start trying even newer things for my life. And
dude, jiu-jitsu is awesome. I love jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu, actually something I was doing for, I can't remember when, it was a couple years ago, but the thing I loved most about it is that it's like you're solving a puzzle, but with your body. Like you're fighting against another person and you're constantly, you're like solving a puzzle while playing chess, but while wrestling at the same time. Like you're constantly trying to like think what moves are they going to put on you and then counter that while also doing something of yourself. But at the same time, the puzzle part comes when you're in a tough situation, when they like got you pinned and you're like, all right, there's a way I can get out of this, but I need to figure out how. And the puzzle's constantly moving. What is your experience with jiu-jitsu? That's pretty awesome. You said you're a blue belt earlier, you told me. That's pretty sick, dude.
Yeah. I started 4 years ago. The way it got to me was really crazy. It was because, this guy just – because I've been there always near the jiu-jitsu scene, because in my office, where we used to have our offices – like in the next door, I had a jiu-jitsu school, but I was never interested to joining until this guy just like, I don't know. He told me something that I just really I said to myself, you know what? Yeah, let's just try it. And it just, sometimes it just works like that. You just got to show up.
Yeah. You just be there. You just got to try it.
Yeah. One day at a time. And something really strange in my mind was starting to happen. Like I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm doing it because I like it and it's bringing me something different. So keep on going. Doesn't matter if you don't learn, if you're a slow learner, doesn't matter if you're dumb, doesn't matter.
Just doesn't matter going. If someone half your weight keeps putting you in an arm bar.
Exactly.
Keep doesn't on going.
Matter. Keep graceful. Be grateful for the fact that you're able to train and whatever,
yeah.
It became like I almost quit it for when I was like 10 months there. And then my sensei or my master, the professor that gives the lessons, he spoke with me and told me like, you have a purpose with this. So you need to find your way out of this and get back to mats. And I came back, but I was drinking alcohol and then like a couple of months later that I started jiu-jitsu again, I had this very hard experience with myself. And from that experience that I had, I quit drinking. I have 3 years now, no drinking.
3 years sober.
Yeah.
Congrats. Damn. That's a long time.
Yeah. It's getting there. It's living it up like as a jiu-jitsu thing, like day by day.
So did you use jiu-jitsu as a replacement for, cause I feel like all like bad habits, you can find a positive replacement. Has this been kind of like your, support for being sober has been through jiu-jitsu?
Well, at the beginning it was, and then I follow a 12-step program. So and my parents, they're 12-step program practitioners, they, you have no idea, man. They begged me, like they told me, like, in many different ways, please just go, just try it out. And I did not want to do it. But the day that I decided to, that I wanted to do it, I wanted to do it the next day, you know, and I was speaking with my mom, and my mom was like, why you have to wait for the next day? Do it today. And she was right about it. And I was like, wow, yeah, right. And after that, my support system was a bit, stretching a little bit, because I had my jiu-jitsu, I had my 12-step program, and I then learned to meditate, and meditation became, it is a very integral part of myself nowadays.
Yeah.
I have to meditate at least 10 minutes or 11 minutes a day. I have it. I mean, I have my app. I
do you notice the days you don't?
Oh yeah. I notice the days I don't. I noticed that.
Yeah. I feel like that's me with journaling. Anytime, like the days I don't, it's very present in my thoughts and like my head. Cause I feel like I just have to get it out on paper so that I can kind of like clean the brain, come up with new things. And when I don't, it's like the same thoughts just keep repeating. And I see meditating is something that I wish I would do better. It's something that I've been doing on and off since early high school, I think. So it's been a while, but I haven't been the most consistent with it yet. The times I notice when I am really consistent, it's
magical.
It's magic. It really is. Like people think you hear it in the West. You hear it's like some sort of superpower. People think like it's really weird. It's got this like interesting connotation that your brain will just start working much better. And I've noticed all it is that it's not that your brain works better. I mean, it does work better when you meditate, but it works better because you're more comfortable inside silence. Like think about how often we don't have silence. Like think about if you've ever been to a restaurant and just like eaten by yourself, think about that and how few people actually just take a second to think to like mindfully eat. Most people what I want to do when I think about this is pull out my phone and start watching videos or like scroll through social media while eating. Like being comfortable in that silence is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself.
Exactly. That's a way of telling yourself that you love yourself.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, Armand, to be honest, man, I was like all the harm that I made to myself, all the things that, and I thought that I had a good self-esteem, and I didn't, man. I actually didn't. I didn't love myself. I didn't love the people around me. And that is a very sad truth that I had to deal with, you know. And through meditation, it's pretty much like the same time I stopped drinking at a June 7th of 2019.
Damn, you got it down.
Yeah. I know.
Dude, you probably had quite the battle during the pandemic, because I feel like that's when everyone just reached for the bottle and anything else they could. And you went clean the whole time.
It wasn't that hard for me. Unfortunately enough, it was not that hard for me.
Nice.
And then I started meditating around September, like between final of September and early October, but it was not as constant as when I started to meditate around the 27th of October. Through there, I started like all time, like, probably I've missed like less than 100 times I've missed meditating in like the past 3 years, you know.
And you've inspired me. I'm gonna meditate after this.
Trust me. I don't know, man. At the beginning, like everything you start at the beginning, you're like, "What is this? What
am I doing? That's a big one. Is the why? Why am I here? That's what." Yeah, you keep asking, like, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? That's like the thought that repeats itself a lot.
Yeah, man, and you know, I just kept being constant. And actually, what did help me a lot on that pandemic, I had my longest streak on meditation was 145 days.
Hmm.
And
damn, like, you had a much healthier pandemic than I did.
Exactly. I was trying to just, you know,
yeah,
I was trying to make my problems smaller.
It was like my longest drinking streak, bro. It was the pandemic.
Wow, man. I mean, yeah. And like your case, there were a lot of people that got into that, you know, like
yeah,
got into that behavior. It is what it is. You know, people has their own ways.
Dude, I'm very thankful for that whole lockdown experience, because out of that came a lot of self-reflection and quite honestly purpose. I kind of found what I wanted to do and started working towards it really through the pandemic. But it was having to go through those first few months of, like, I'm incredibly extroverted, having to go through those first few months just stripped away of my like social interaction. It was there's a lot of talk about introspection and like meditating in silence, dude. There was a lot of looking at yourself and looking inward. But I am really glad that I managed to do the work at that time, because I don't think I'd be where I am today right now had I not gone through the pandemic.
Damn, I'm actually glad that you've done it, because that is one of the reasons why I'm here as well. You know, because
yeah,
it's strange how things work around humanity. You know, and yeah, meditation did help me a lot on understanding. Because I know my flaws, I know my defects, and I realize that I'm always gonna be that way, and there's no way that I'm gonna cut that. It's impossible. It's what I am, right? But what I've managed to learn, at least, is to deal with it in a different way.
Yeah,
I do get my mistakes. Always, I'm far from perfect. I have a lot of things to work on myself, but having that moment for myself and just realize, okay, you're here. You're okay. Those are the thoughts that are happening to you, and it's always there. How eventually, you know, magic happens by itself.
Yeah.
Just by doing it, you know, boom, things started to pop up. Are starting to pop up better. We probably, I mean, my jiu-jitsu got a bit better. I'm okay. There's people, I mean, there are a lot of
protections. Oh, I've seen, yeah.
That are obsessive with that. I'm okay with just practicing the way I'm practicing. I should practice a bit more, and it's something that I need to learn better. But then, you know.
We all should be doing things more. That's just life, man. But exactly. Speaking of magic, I want to talk about you flying for a little bit.
Yeah,
you're getting your private pilot's license. How has that been?
Yeah, it's really connected to the things, you know, by jiu-jitsu,
yeah,
you know, and the meditation, and you know, same friend that actually got me into jiu-jitsu. I don't know for what reasons we were talking about planes at the moment. I never dreamt of being, you know,
yeah, pilot or anything,
but
that's so sick, dude.
Exactly. And I don't know, man. He just like showed me this planes, like this very small planes. And then I checked the price and I was like, what? I thought a plane was like hell expensive, you know? And
yeah, you're like, I can get one of those.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is something crazy to do.
That's so cool.
And yeah, and you know, my mind worked, and you know,
yeah,
if you're aware of it. It was like a year ago. It was like in June of, like something between May or June of last year. And I was like, I told my dad, I was like, Dad, you know what? I got this itch, man. I gotta learn how to fly a plane. And he's like looking at me like, you're not gonna, I mean, are you serious? Are you seriously considering? I was like, yeah.
He's like, no balls, you won't.
Yeah. He's like, he in a way that he knows me. He's like, he probably will, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he actually will, but he
yeah,
might do it, right?
You're like, he's got it in him, but it's a plane. Like, this yeah, isn't just.
It's funny. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. And
not in the same. I mean, it's not nearly as like on the same expense or honestly danger side, but I got a motorcycle, and it was very much in the sense of, that's actually what I talked to Charles about, because he rides motorcycles. His story with that is pretty sweet. But one, to me, it was very much like I got that itch and I checked the prices and I was like, I can get one of those. And then I went to go look at them. And then a few days later, my parents like, dude, what?
Yeah, it is. And it is so,
they're like, where are you going to put this?
So you feel so fulfilled, you know?
Because yes, you really do. It's like, it's one of those follow your, not dreams, not whims. It's not like, not impulse, but like what you feel will make you happy. Like what you, your sense of adventure is being fulfilled. Like I'm sure when you're in the air, it's the same as like me, you know, flying down the freeway. You just feel this sense of like freedom that very few people actually get to experience or get to feel. So it's a really great just like expression, just expression of yourself and happiness.
Totally with you there, Armand. You know, so I just, what, before we started, before I started the pilot journey, or the pilot lessons journey, we decided to go to Tampa, and we said, you know what, we're going to try this plane, and if we feel that it works, then we do it. Yeah. I didn't need that. I was convinced that I wanted to do it, but I wanted to.
In your head, you went in going, "I'm buying this either way."
Exactly. I'm doing it no matter what. I'm gonna do it. and you know, I tried it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And December of last year, I started my Theorix for private pilot. Now, right now, I'm in my journey. I'm a lot of hours ahead to become a private pilot, a licensed private pilot. Yeah. But I'm expecting that by around March or April of next year, I'm gonna have my license, and I'm gonna be able to just, you know, enjoy a new skill. And
that's sweet. You spent a good bit of time in the air already.
Yeah, I've spent around 8.3 hours.
Nice.
That's like the way they count it. And I got through that because of the things that I needed to change. Those things, like my recovery, my jiu-jitsu, my parents, my friends, my wife, all the surround system that I'm supporting myself with, just facilitated me to just, you know what, you can do it.
Yeah, it feels like you've done a good job cultivating the right environment around your life, because when you see your friends, like they're the ones that helped you put on this TEDx event. They're the ones that are helping you with be a co-founder. You have your parents and your wife, who are your family, that are helping you become a better person. You have your mentor. Like you've done a really great job of putting people in your life that bring you in a more positive and better direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, definitely what meditation has taught me is that, I mean, like if you let your mind just wander, usually, and that this is from a podcast that I listened from Lex Friedman with Sam Harris. Sam Harris was telling me about, like, the mind can be very negative. Like if you wake up, you're not.
Yeah, it can.
You're waking up, you know, you need to train yourself to. You need to train your brain to always be positive. Not always, but I mean, like, to cultivate that positive mindset, because things are going to get hard. You know, the mind only understands problem and how to solve them. They don't understand like the optimism or the
very good true. Or
what you want to accomplish. They just understand what they, like the brain understands that thing that can interpret, you know? And I think that having this conversation with you, it's very positive for me. It also helps.
I'm glad.
Yeah. It helps my recovery. It helps me to solidify the things that I believe and the responsibility to have with myself, which is the most important thing. Responsibility with yourself. which have done so much harm as well. But
we all do.
Exactly. And I feel okay with it, man. I embrace it. I feel that
yeah.
it is my life's journey to live. And I'm really thankful for it. I feel thankful for it. I feel thankful for the people that helped me learn the hard lessons and helped me, also the people that were nice enough to help me when I needed the most help.
Yeah. You know?
And
I was going to say, and I'm thankful you came on. This has been a great episode.
Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you as well, Armand. I mean, this is a Charles connection, you know.
Yeah.
He sent us that mail and we thought, you know, you guys need to meet. And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do it, man. I like it. I like that idea. And obviously you were also connected to it and you were immediately connected. We have to talk. Let's talk someday. And here we are, man. Here we are learning.
Yeah, I don't like to wait around with those kinds of things. I will admit, one of my things, if anyone listening will laugh at this, maybe I could be a lot better about replying. I could, but I do my best to jump on opportunities right away. I don't know what it is, dude. I like reply in my head and then I'm like, that's what I'm gonna say, and then need to just message it. But yeah, thank you very much for coming on. I have a couple of closing questions and then we can be on our merry way. What kind of music or podcasts have you been listening to lately?
I like a lot Hernán Cataño. I like him. It's electronic music. There's always a new set on every Sunday, so I like to listen to that. I usually listen to reggaeton as well and some other I like nice. A lot of ambient music, you know, as well. We're focusing and podcast. My favorite podcast whole world is
besides your own.
Lex, what
I said, besides your own.
Exactly. I love my podcast.
Lex Friedman.
Lex Friedman. Lex Friedman. Well, I really admire what he has, what he does, what like the type of interviews he does as well. I also like your podcast, man. I think that you're doing a great
Thanks.
Job.
And I appreciate that.
And I like that it's a topic that is involved. It has to do with the self, you know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the contribution you're also doing. But those are the podcasts I've been listening. My podcast and my shows, and some other Gimlet shows as well. Startup. Gimlet, you know, pretty cool as well. And those are the things that I've been listening lately.
Yeah, thanks for throwing mine in there. I do my best on combining the things I really like and am interested in while also trying to help people out at the same time. What are your favorite TV shows or movies that you would like to recommend?
Favorite TV shows, movie. Well, I don't know why, man, but I don't know why this like this Southern American culture, like the Uruguayan and Argentinian culture. I like a lot of Argentinian culture. I recently saw the Carlos Bilardo documentary that's on HBO, Bilardo. I like that story. I think it's a very inspirational story. I really like Maradona's as well documentary.
Did you see the Maradona show when he coaches a team in Mexico?
I mean, there's the documentary is there in Netflix. I haven't seen it.
That is one of the best shows. He Maradona just like coaches a like second rate, like whatever is below the number one league, like the second league team in Sinaloa. And it is so funny, dude. Maradona is an awesome character. Like you think it's some like guy playing someone, but it's one of the greatest soccer players to live that's just also an electric person to watch on TV. Like it is, so man. Funny such it a is. Good show. My family would gather together and just watch the show. It's so good, so I recommend that.
Awesome. I mean, thank you for that as well. I will watch that actually. There's this documentary about Uruguay when they came World Cup champions in the 30s. It's insane. They were like a unbeatable team, like for 10 years, from the 20s to the 30s of last century. They were insanely great. They were undefeated until they lost on like 24 years later, you know? And they were insanely great. And they talk about this Capitan, I think it's El Negro Medina. I think it's his last name. Obdulio Medina, something like that is his name. They talk about their story. And I like that scenery of people becoming great and how they became great. I like that.
You'll love Last Dance if you ever seen that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, yeah. Last Dance is one of the no brainer.
You got to throw that in there.
Yeah, thank you for that as well. I like you know, I was very drawn to the series Euphoria.
I haven't seen that yet. I hear a lot about it. I haven't seen it yet. I do want to watch it, honestly, but I hear it's pretty nuts.
It is crazy, Armand, because like I think in the context of we both grew up, like, you know, the idea of being in high school and like partying and like the booze and stuff like that. I think Euphoria shows like a really intense
culture around that.
Yeah, different things there, like a lot of mental illness around there and addiction problems. And like I was really mind blown by that. And yeah, my favorite movie of all time, Clockwork Orange, definitely must recommend it. And yeah, I mean, I like Pink Floyd as a music as well. Pink Floyd as a band.
What about any books you're reading?
There's the books currently I'm reading. I'm gonna show you real quick. I'm reading this one called Make Noise.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
It's got the podcasting.
Like, yeah.
So we're doing here.
How to create audience. I'm learning this about fintechs as well, banks and fintechs. That's the reason recently I've started. Would definitely recommend also this one. What you do is who you are. From Ben Horowitz. It's about culture, and for companies. Recently, I read also this one, Winners Never Cheat, from I think it's Huntsman, the last name. I think it's John Huntsman. So yeah, man. Those
you got are a lot of books. A lot of books.
I love reading. I love to cultivate my knowledge. So yeah, those are the things.
Sweet. That I've been learning. Mm-hmm. Last question is, where can people find you?
Definitely LinkedIn. That's the only network that I have. I don't have Facebook. I have Twitter, Instagram.
Gustavo replies really well. I need to start being like him when it comes to replying. He will reply to your messages.
Yeah, definitely. You can reach out on LinkedIn. You can follow Medios Modernos, the podcast company that I have. That we have free shows there. You can follow them by Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And Fundamentos, correct. That's one of the podcasts
that you have. I'll throw the episode with Charles on there, because I really loved it. It was great to listen to. I learned so much from that episode. Such an insightful guy.
Yeah, it is, man. Thank you for listening as well. And I think if you can put my notes in my personal email.
Yeah.
I can send it to you by LinkedIn and people interested in reaching me, you can reach me by there. And those are the ways that you can reach me.
Sweet. Thanks for coming on, Gustavo. It was great having you, and it was a great conversation.
Thank you for the conversation. Awesome conversation, awesome hosts, and awesome Play Hard podcast. So please follow, please listen to Armand and his guests. You will definitely learn a lot from the conversations.
Appreciate it. See you later, man.
All right. Bye-bye.